This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
After the great financial collapse, Congress changed the rules of finance. Today, a change to some of the changes. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Later today, the Republican senator who heads the Senate Banking Committee, Richard Shelby of Alabama, is expected to release a so-called regulatory relief bill that's being called the most ambitious attempt to revamp financial regulations since the Dodd-Frank law. Marketplace's Stan Alcorn is here live. He's been looking into this. Stan, what might this new bill do?
Well, a lot of people would like to know that. So far, the reporting we have is based on anonymous congressional aides talking about a fast-changing bill that's going to have a lot stuffed into it. But as you might guess from those words, regulatory relief, a lot of it's about scaling back regulation. Some of this is directed specifically at smaller banks with less than $10 billion in assets. They might get relief from those stress tests and the Volcker rule that's supposed to rein in risky trading with bank deposits. But one of the most controversial provisions would apply to all banks of any size, expanding what's called the safe harbor that protects them from getting sued over mortgages so long as the mortgages meet certain high standards of borrower creditworthiness. A provision would reportedly carve out an exception when banks take on that risk by keeping those mortgages in their own portfolio.
What I'm hearing here is less regulation for banks of all sizes.
Yeah, unless you're the bank to the banks, the Federal Reserve. The provisions being discussed would make them report and testify to Congress more often. It'd also give Congress more of a say in selecting the head of the New York Fed, which regulates a lot of the big commercial banks here. That's a provision that, unlike the safe harbor part I talked about, has been championed by Democrats and financial reform folks. So there's something for everyone to like, but also something for everybody to hate.
Stan Alcorn, thank you. Now, we hope you're paying attention to your own debt levels. This morning, we'll know the collective number, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York's quarterly look at household debt and credit. Marketplace's Adam Allington reports.
Housing values are coming back, but both borrowers and lenders remain cool on home equity lines of credit called HELOCs. Brian Jacobson is a portfolio strategist at Wells Fargo. He says homeowners remain gun-shy from the recession. Also, it's just much harder to qualify.
Perhaps their incomes aren't able to support it, or maybe their credit ratings aren't such that they're able to actually qualify for those loans.
Tighter regulation is also part of the story. Still, if you do qualify, you can still get these loans, and the numbers are nudging up. Erin Lance is a vice president of mortgages at Zillow. Going forward, she says all those low-rate mortgages people got 5, 6, 7 years ago could actually help people tap home equity in the future.
Consumers have all of these low-rate first lien mortgages, and they'll look for home equity lines of credit as the way to tap equity in their homes without touching that low-rate first mortgage.
According to data from the New York Fed, the real movers on household debt these days are student loans and car loans. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 1.8% now, Frankfurt down 2%. Germany is normally safe and boring in terms of its bond market, but it's been volatile in the last week, and the 10-year yield there is up 7/32 to 0.68% now. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.7% range. And one more number, a painting called Women of Algiers is sold at auction for the most ever, $179,365,000 at Christie's last night. The price is especially remarkable since it was a work by a relatively unknown artist named Picasso. Lauren, who cuts my hair, told me as she was chopping away one day that she was holding in her hand a $1,000 pair of shears. To me, they look like scissors, but who knew they were so dear? We sometimes ask musicians about the instruments they choose, but what about everyone else? So we've started a series that starts today called Pro Tool, featuring people with strong opinions about the tools they use in their work. Now, here's the inspiration for this. Lauren Popper, hairstylist extraordinaire in Short Hills, New Jersey.
The actual most important tool in my line of work is my shear. scissor shear, but shear actually is the proper word. I feel like I will spend what I have to spend, which is usually either a Japanese shear or a German shear. They are the best. They range anywhere from $200 up to $1,000. So normally I kind of stay in the $200 to $400 range.
So you're not going over to the dollar store to get scissors?
You will see the difference. You will hear the difference in a haircut because they'll clank. Not like, you know, you're cutting a hedge or something and you hear that clanking. They're not supposed to do that. You won't have a clean line. And like, I've tried that, obviously, to save money, and there's no way that I will use a scissor like that, a shear like that.
Tell me about the greatest set of shears you've ever had.
Okay, so I have a set of shears called Nick, N-I-C. I bought them in 1977 for $175. And somebody was sharpening my scissors a couple years ago, and they're like, oh my God, these are like vintage. I'll give you $1,000 for them. And I'm thinking, hell no, they got to be worth a lot more than that. So I'm like, no, I'll keep them. But they are actually my favorite scissors. And I still have them. And they still cut beautiful. It's like the old stuff sometimes. It's worth saving. Like, you know, when I take them home every night, I guard them with my life. Because I'm like, if I lose, I have like 8 pairs. So if I lose them, look what I have to reinvest. I just forget about it, you know?
Well, it'll be thousands.
I just won't eat for a week or two if I have to, like, you know.
So, all right, when I come get a really special haircut, I'll talk to you in advance, and you got to whip out the Nick's for
me. Let me tell you something. We'll close the salon for that. We'll have a whole, yes.
Dave gets the Nick
you
haircut.
You get it. Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
Lauren Popper, hairstylist at La Maison Salon and Spa in Short Hills, New Jersey. We're going to accumulate pictures, stories, and other multimedia about the pros and their tools at marketplace.org. If you are a pro with a tool you hold dear, let us know for future stories. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.